The reading today is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. That's on page 361 of the Blue Bible. The call of Elijah. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. This is God's word.
At this point, I'm taking bets. It's about how many times I'm going to get the two names Elijah and Elisha mixed up. My current estimate is probably somewhere around 4 or 5 times. We'll see how it goes. But have you ever felt like giving up? Maybe it's not the kind of dramatic throw in the towel completely sort of thing, but more like a slow weariness, discouraged, disheartened, wondering whether it's really worth keeping going. You try to live for Jesus at school or at university or college, and you feel like you're the only one. Everyone else seems to be living by a completely different script. And you wonder, am I just wasting my time? Or you've been serving in church for many years, faithfully praying, giving, helping, speaking, but you feel tired, kind of unnoticed. And you wonder, does any of this really matter? Or maybe you look at the world around us, and even though there are kind of encouraging signs in our country at the moment, still the vast majority of our nation is far from God. Church is compromised. The word of God is watered down, isn't it? And so we ask, what's the point of keeping going? If you've ever felt like that, then you are in very good company this evening, because that's exactly what Elijah was thinking in 1 Kings 19. Last week, if you were here, you'll have heard him pour out his heart before God. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Can you hear the despair in that? "I've given up everything, Lord. I've tried to be faithful, but I'm the only one left, and it hasn't worked. I just want to give up." But in God's kindness, he doesn't leave Elijah there. He reminded him last week of his presence through a gentle whisper. He assured him that he wasn't alone. There were 7,000 others. And then in our passage today, God shows Elijah something else. His work is going to continue. God's word isn't done yet. Elijah isn't the end of the story. That's what this little scene in 3 verses is about with Elisha. So this passage is going to be so, so helpful for us when we feel like giving up. Here's the message to take away this evening. 2 words: keep going. That's it, keep going. We're going to see 2 reasons for that. Keep going because God will raise up servants of his word. And keep going because God calls us to wholehearted service. We'll look at the first one. Picture the scene. Elijah has just come down from Mount Horeb, where God spoke to him, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in that gentle whisper. And now Elijah walks across the fields of Israel until he sees a man hard at work. Elisha, he's out in the fields with 12 yoke of oxen, and he's guiding one of them himself. This is no small family farm that Elisha is working on. There's 12 yoke of oxen, and that indicates that it's a large, wealthy estate. So Elisha is a man with security. Elisha is a man with wealth. Elisha is a man with a future. And then, without a word, this prophet Elijah walks up to him, takes off his prophet's cloak and drapes it over Elisha's shoulders. No speech, no explanation, just the unmistakable sign, you, Elisha, you are taking up the prophet's mantle. It's a simple action, but it says a lot. The cloak was the symbol of the prophet's authority. So to place it on Elisha's shoulders was to appoint him as successor. Elijah is saying to him, you are going to continue this work. But look again at verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha. That almost might sound casual. He just happened to find this guy and thought, oh, he'll do. But this is not chance. Back in verse 16, God had already told Elijah, anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, to succeed you as prophet. So in other words, this is God's unfolding plan, isn't it? Elijah's the one who's thrown the cloak, but it's God who has raised the man. And this is exactly what Elijah needed to see. Remember that despair, verse 14? I'm the only one left. He thought he was running alone. He thought the future of God's word rested on his weary shoulders, but here God shows him otherwise. God's word is not in danger. His purposes are not fragile. He will raise up the next servant. It's kind of like running a relay race. Every runner gives everything. They're almost on their knees by the time it's the end of their leg. But the race continues because the baton is passed on. Elijah thought that he was getting to the end of the track and no one was there to take the baton. But God had already placed Elisha ahead of him, ready to run. The race would go on because God himself makes sure the baton of his word never drops. When we zoom out, this is the repeated pattern throughout history, throughout scripture. From prophet to prophet, from age to age, God has always raised up servants so that his word continues. There was a time where it looked like the baton had dropped. From Malachi to Matthew, 400 years of silence. No word from God, no prophet. Then at just the right time, the next runner appeared. Not just another prophet, but the servant of the Lord. The suffering servant who would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Jesus, the word made flesh, who came to preach good news. In his own words from Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And now that same Lord Jesus has handed the baton on again of this good news to his apostles and then to his church. That's why we are here today. Because God has never left his word without servants. So what does this mean for us? It means keep going. Don't give up. Because God will raise up servants of his word. Those three scenarios again. Maybe you feel like the only Christian in your classroom. Maybe your office or even your family. You wonder if standing for Jesus is worth it. Keep going. God has others that you may not see yet. He's always raising up servants of his word. Maybe you've been faithfully serving for years, leading, teaching, discipling, and you wonder who will carry it on after you. Keep going. The God who raised up Elisha will raise up others after you. His work does not rest on your shoulders alone. And maybe you look at that wider culture, skeptical, hostile, drifting from the truth, and you feel despair. Keep going. Don't give up. God's word has always outlasted human opposition. Empires rise, empires fall, but the word of the Lord endures. We're not alone. We don't see the whole picture, but God does, and he will raise up servants for his word. So keep going. And here's something not to miss. I think this is important. Elijah didn't retire the day Elisha was called. He still had ministry to do, now alongside his successor. And that's a challenge for all of us too. If we've been running the race for a while, part of our call is to encourage and equip younger believers to carry on the baton after us. Pray for them. Cheer them on. Share God's word with them. Will you keep going and help the next runners take their place? Second reason to keep going. Keep going because God calls us to wholehearted service. What about Elisha's response? Let's look again at verse 19. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." You see the eagerness there? He runs after Elijah. There's no dragging of feet, no bargaining. But he does want to say goodbye. That's not stalling. Rather, here's a man who's realized that all the ties with his old life have to be severed. He has to say a proper goodbye to sever the ties with his old life completely. And that becomes abundantly clear when we look at verse 21. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. I mean, isn't that extraordinary? Isn't that extraordinary? Elisha slaughters his oxen. That's his livelihood. That's his security. He burns his plow. Maybe it was the latest plow, the one that he'd been saving up for a long time. And yet he still burns it. And then with a feast, he publicly says goodbye to his old life before setting out to be Elijah's servant. That is wholehearted commitment, isn't it? There's no plan B here. There's no safety net. He is absolutely all in. There's a true story. I checked this. 19th century missionaries going to Congo and Sierra Leone. They all knew that disease would almost certainly kill them within months of them arriving. So instead of packing suitcases on the ship, they packed all their belongings into coffins. They were all in, absolutely committed, no going back. And that's Elisha's level of commitment here. But notice how this speaks back into Elijah's despair. Remember verse 14, "I'm the only one left." Elijah felt like the last servant standing, but God shows him otherwise. Not only is there another, Elisha, but there is another who is willing to be absolutely 100% all in committed. And Elisha's wholehearted response points us to Jesus, doesn't it? Elisha burned his plow, but Jesus, of course, gave up something far greater. He left behind the riches of heaven, the security of his Father's side, and entered our world. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. He too went all in, not just laying aside possessions, but laying down his own life on a cross. And there's a crucial difference between Elisha and Jesus, the way they were both all in. Jesus didn't do this just to inspire us, but to save us. Elisha's sacrifice cost him wealth and security. Jesus' sacrifice purchased our forgiveness. Elisha's act showed his devotion. Jesus' act secured our salvation. And because he's given us his spirit, we are now equipped to follow him and do the very same thing in wholehearted devotion. Actually, I think this is kind of why Elisha's feast matters. It's very easy to skip over it, but he has a feast. Burning the plow wasn't just loss. It was joy. He cooked his oxen and celebrated with his community. Steak and chips all round. And following Jesus is the same. Sometimes steak. Yes, it costs us everything, but it brings a joy that the world can never match. As Jesus promised in Mark chapter 10, whatever we give up for his sake, we receive back 100-fold. Not in wealth, not in comfort, but in the joy of belonging to this, God's people, and the hope of eternal life with him. So what about us? What does wholehearted service look like for us today? Not everyone is called to leave their career. Not everyone is called to leave literally everything behind and move to another country. But everyone, every one of us is called to burn our plows, to put away anything that rivals Jesus, to cut the cords to idols, to stop keeping faith as kind of a plan B just in case, and instead to go absolutely 100% all in committed. What plows might you need to burn? For some, it might be an unhealthy relationship that's keeping you from Christ. Burn it. For others, it might be the quiet but powerful idol of approval or success. Get rid of it. For many of us, it's simply the comfort of staying on the sidelines instead of stepping forward to serve. Jesus put it bluntly, didn't he? Luke chapter 9, verse 62. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Elisha literally put his hand to the plow and then he burned it. That's the incredible kind of decisiveness that Jesus is calling for. And don't miss the final note of verse 21. He set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. There's no real prestige here. It's humility. It's humble service. And that's where true joy is found. Leaving behind every rival to serve Christ wholeheartedly. So keep going. Jesus calls us not to half measures, but to wholehearted service of his word. In Jesus, we have both the model and the power to do so. So keep going. I think we can remember those two words through this week, can't we? Keep going. That's the message of these verses. Keep going because God will raise up his servants, and keep going because God calls us to wholehearted service. Elijah needed to see that he wasn't alone, and we need that reminder too. That baton of God's word, it's never going to drop. Christ has run the race to victory. He calls us to run faithfully after him. I kind of want to press this home. Firstly, I want to address kind of maybe some of the younger men and women, Christians in this room. There is a word to us slightly less young. How do I say that tactfully? slightly less young afterwards. Younger ones first. Our God has saved you. He's brought you here. He's equipped you, gifted you absolutely uniquely. From among you, God is already raising up the next generation of church leaders. He's raising up men and women who burn the plows in order to follow Jesus all in. People who are going to open their Bibles with their friends at school and college and university. People who are going to stand firm for Christ in work. People who are going to step up to serve in church with joy and courage. Maybe here, maybe beyond, maybe far from Banstead. Will you be one of them? Don't settle for half-hearted faith. Don't keep Christianity as kind of a plan B just in case. Jesus has given everything for you, and he calls you to give everything joyfully for him. You'll find a joy that far outmatches any other when you do so. Take up the baton of God's words. Maybe some of you are going to be leaders in our men's ministry. Maybe some of you are going to lead our family's outreach. Maybe some of you are going to be that person that you always know you can call if you're in trouble. You can do that. When I first started serving, it was with a small Sunday school class. I was 16 years old. A little bit later, I led a kids club at the age of 21. And honestly, I wasn't very good at it, not at all. But God's people still encouraged me. God's people still supported me. And there was growth. God's Spirit helped me. And you know what? I loved it. Absolutely loved it. There is nothing better than serving Jesus. I'm going to stop picking on the younger ones now. The rest of us here this evening, they can't actually take up the baton if we don't pass it. We can't just drop it and hope they catch it. We can't hold on to it just because we think the next runner isn't the finished product yet. We've got to pass the baton well. Keep going. Let's trust boldly. Let's ask kindly. Let's run alongside to give encouragement and guidance, resisting the temptation to control. So, young or old, we're going to keep going together. Let's burn the plows. Let's take hold of the baton. And let's run with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And on that final day, let's look forward to hearing those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that the weight of responsibility isn't on us. Thank you so much that the good news of Jesus is going to keep going. And thank you so much, Father, that you are raising up men and women who love your word, who follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Father, we pray that we would be those people. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for laying aside everything for us. There is no sacrifice that we could make that would come anywhere close. We praise you. Amen.